I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? We're presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works. Visit EMP180.com and get empowered. We thank you for tuning in this Tuesday morning, May 21st, 2019. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
And Jason Bishop.
Hey, morning, guys.
Running the three-man shows this week as Cakes takes a week of vacay. We are packed. Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, is going to join us at the top of the show. Talk about the Reuben Foster injury and more. J.P. Finley, covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington, will join us at 7:40. Talk a little Wizards. And the future of the Wizards, as they were not able to land their first GM choice. Candace Buckner covers the Wizards for the Washington Post. Will join us at 8. And Brian Orringer is going to join us, who is a former NBA advanced scout. He'll join us at 9:20. We can talk about the NBA playoffs and beyond. I stayed up to watch the game last night. Warriors are just incredible.
Yeah.
They're incredible. They were down 17 points for the third straight game.
Yep.
And they won all three of them. And it's the Steph Curry show and the Draymond Green show. Both of them had triple doubles last night.
The first time ever that's ever happened on the same team.
You know what?
By the way, the Blazers led in minutes 101-83 for the series.
Yeah, I mean, even though it was a sweep, by all intents and purposes, it was a close series.
It was close.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But the Warriors have seen it all before. They've been in all these situations before. And what it comes down to is, at the end of games, they can execute their offense way better than their opponents. And Draymond Green is an incredible passer. Kind of sleep on him. He gets kind of lost in the shuffle of Splash Brothers and Kevin Durant. Draymond Green's a great player.
Yeah, it is incredible that they were able to sweep them without Durant. But Curry, man, he really stepped up his game, hitting 7 threes last night. How about the triple-double, though, as you mentioned? 13 boards for Steph Curry last night.
By the way, it's without Durant, and I know he hasn't been part of the team for that long, but just, you want to talk about the embarrassment of riches. It's also without Boogie Cousins.
Yeah. Yeah, but like you said, he wasn't really part of any of their championship runs.
I know, but
good,
it's just
good player.
Embarrassment of riches that they have just an all-star big man sitting there.
Yeah.
And maybe he's not the player that he was before. I don't know, because he wasn't really given the opportunity
right after
his torn Achilles. There's some talk that he could be back.
Yeah. Well, no, he's coming back from, I think, a torn quad.
I understand that, but yeah. I'm saying originally this season he came back from a torn Achilles. That's why he didn't get some big monster free agent contract.
Right. I thought it was interesting, just from watching the highlights, you know, you mentioned Steph and Draymond, and Steph clearly was the catalyst for most of it, but they are so experienced and so good. Like, Draymond only hit 1 3, but he hit a big one. Klay Thompson didn't shoot that well from three, but he hit a big one down the stretch. So they just have, they're just so good and so experienced. It doesn't even really sort of matter if they're having a hot or cold shooting night. They're not afraid to take the big shots, and they've all hit them before.
And without Kevin Durant, they're just such a great passing team. Yep. I don't know what the total number is for assists, but
they're 30.
Between Draymond and Steph, both guys are in double digits in assists. It's incredible.
It's the first time that the team has gone to the finals 5 consecutive times since the mid-60s when the Celtics did it. It's just really, really difficult to do. It's an incredible run. It really is.
Well, look, exciting games. I see Drabby didn't talk that much. Drabby, you upset by it, or are you okay with it all?
He expected it.
I wouldn't say I'm upset, but I'm disappointed that you blew 3 straight 17-point leads in games.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, I doubt that's ever happened before.
Yeah.
And.
Well, you could take comfort in the fact that they were all seemingly good games. I don't know the one that wasn't a huge lead, but it sure seems like they were all great games. I mean,
last night was a great game.
You're on the wrong side of it, but they're great games. Super exciting.
And I saw our next guest, Craig Hoffman, is a Redskins beat reporter. I saw he was tweeting last night about Steph Curry in particular. that when you talk about the all-time greats, okay, there's Michael Jordan, and you know, you can go down a list, but how many all-time greats at his size? You know what I mean? Well, like, is he the greatest guy at his size? And we can talk to Craig Hall.
He also
the Redskins about that.
But he also, you know, there's a great article about ESPN the magazine, which is Folding Shop, which kills me. But it talks about how Steph Curry changed the game.
Oh yeah,
he changed the game.
Yeah,
yeah. One of those few players that has actually changed the game. Yeah.
What's up, Craig?
Hold on. Hey, buddy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
So, hey, Craig, before we get into the Redskins and Reuben Foster, you were tweeting about Steph and his size and how incredible he is.
Yeah, I think he affects winning in a way that nobody else at his size ever has. Like, the way he attracts defenders, obviously his shot making, he rebounds. He had a triple-double last night. Like, he's insane. And I think, like, the list other than him under 6'6", really. Kobe obviously is on that list at 6'6" and under. But then you get to 6'4" and under, it's like Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Thomas, Allen Iverson. That's the only guys even close. And I think Curry's better than all of those guys.
Yeah, and we've kind of forgotten how good he is the last 2 years because of Kevin Durant, and he's just showing it again. Look, he did change the game. He won the MVP back-to-back years, and if Kevin Durant ends up leaving, Golden State's still going to be great, still probably going to be the favorite in the West, and may win more championships, and we're going to see it because of Steph Curry.
Yeah, and he's the perfect pairing with Draymond, too, because like all the stuff that Steph does, Draymond knows how to kind of maximize. But I think even Steph's like ability to kind of settle out when or defer to Durant is part of his greatness. Like, he is so good at seeing what's the best formula to win, and to be able to turn it back on like this when Durant goes out and be like, oh yeah, I'll score 30 in six straight games, have a couple triple doubles, and just generally be great at everything, and by the way, do it in the most soul-sucking way possible to my opponent. Like, he's ridiculous. He's so good.
So Kirk Hoffman's our Redskins beat reporter, and he covers OTAs, and the big story yesterday was three plays in, they lose Reuben Foster. What were they expecting from Reuben Foster going in? Because it's been kind of drama for a year. They signed him. He was arrested. The charges eventually went away. But then it was, this guy's an athletic freak, right? What were they expecting from him going in?
Yeah, they were expecting him to be a starter. Starter at what they call the Mo linebacker spot, the non-play calling inside linebacker. And more than that, they expect him to be a playmaker, a guy who could play in pass coverage, play the run, force fumbles, get interceptions. Like, they needed him to be what this defense lacked, which is an elite-level player. And coming out of the draft a couple years ago, they loved him. Jay Gruden specifically loves Reuben Foster. One of his favorite interviews, one of his favorite players he's ever evaluated. And Jay was certainly part of the push to sign him. And that's part of the reason I think Jay got so emotional yesterday was, the journey it took to acquire Reuben Foster. And obviously, it's not like it was all feel-good stuff. But he elevated the ceiling for them in a way that is quite tangible in terms of creating turnovers and just being an impact player. And they don't have that now. They have some guys, which I'm sure we'll talk about, who can compete to back him up. But the ceiling of this defense goes down without him.
Mm. The thing that's kind of scary about it, as JP mentioned, it was the third play. I think it was his first play. Now, obviously, it was a non-contact thing in OTA. I guess he landed on Tyler Catalina's foot and then rolled it. And then, you know, it's one thing to tear your ACL. It's a pretty common injury these days, unfortunately. Guys come back from it, though. But now they're saying there could be artery damage, too, and some other things. That's really kind of scary.
Yeah, that's the stuff that's concerning. The way he went down, the pain he was in, it was hard to tell. I mean, and I even asked Jay about this. Like, was that physical pain or was that emotional pain? Did he know that his season was over and he's just in disbelief going, or is he... Was it more of like, forget football, like my leg freaking hurts? And I don't know. But I will say the way they casted it up and carted him off, that scared me in terms of the injury, because an ACL, like, you can tear your ACL and keep walking.
Yeah,
you can walk off. So
I thought it was a broken leg when I heard an air cast. I thought a broken leg.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've seen that too, and I was obviously there. I've seen the term air cast used. I don't know if technically that's the right term. It was an air cast looking brace, but it wasn't truly an air cast. It wasn't around the leg in a way that a cast is. It was kind of an air brace, if you will, around the knee. So I knew it wasn't a broken leg. I knew it was something knee related. or at least where they needed to stabilize the knee. I thought maybe based off the pain, maybe like popped his hamstring or something too, right down by the insertion point where the hamstring connects to the knee. But it turns out it is the ligament stuff. I haven't heard confirmation directly, but I have no reason to doubt what JP Finley reported, that there is concern over some kind of artery damage. And that's terrifying, because the arteries, I mean, that's where all your blood flows. Like, you're talking about some internal bleeding and things potentially that could be really scary. So, you know, hopefully everything's stabilized. Hopefully everything is good. And, you know, as long as they can fix that stuff, then I just wonder about like nerve damage or anything like that to potentially affect his future as a football player. If it's just ligaments, you can fix those. If it's arteries, that's obviously really scary. But as far as I know, you can fix those, even if it enhances the time or elongates the time of recovery. But nerve damage, if that starts to come out, that would be the really scary one in terms of his football future.
So, Seehoff, as you mentioned, it is a big injury, even though he wasn't here last year and didn't play much last year because of injuries with San Francisco. And then, obviously, we thought there would be a suspension. There wasn't. But, you know, just based on the upside and the name and where he was drafted and how good he was in college and where he was slated for this team, you know, you assume the offense might struggle a little bit. Because of, you know, there just aren't a lot of playmakers, maybe a rookie quarterback starting. So they were kind of going to rely on the defense a lot, I would say, at least early in the season. And he was going to be a big part of it. It's big.
Yeah, no, this is a defensive football team. This is a defense and run the football team. And their defense just got worse, which, you know, analysis, not great. You know, and especially if you think about an offense that's challenged, how often can you get short fields? It's huge. I mean, even if your offense does nothing with a short field, if you're already in field goal range, well, hey, kick the field goal. And at least you didn't have to do anything offensively to get there. And so if you lose a guy that can create turnovers and create short fields for you, that's huge. And he was one of those guys. And, you know, the guys that could potentially replace him are certainly not going to make those type of impact plays nearly as often.
Yeah, so who are some of the candidates? Josh Harvey Clemens, is he one? What about the rookie, Cole Holcomb, that they drafted? Is there any chance he could step in?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a chance. They drafted him to be a guy to play in space because of his speed. And that, you know, he's not the thumper. He's not nearly as big as Reuben Foster was, that NFL body. You know, and obviously Holcomb has gotten a lot closer to that. You know, when we got to college, he was really small, but he's developed into a really nice player and a really nice prospect. But he was a fifth-round pick. I think realistically, you got two guys that are the favorites to be the starting linebacker, and in a way, you got to figure out which order you want them, because Mason Foster, this is why you kept him. There was no reason to cut him. They didn't really need the cap space, you know, outside of the fan stuff, if you wanted to make some kind of statement with that and some of his interactions, Twitter, whatever. But, you know, once they kept him through that last season, I didn't think that was going to be a reason they cut him in the offseason. So ultimately, you got Mason, who's got experience playing both spots. And you have Sean Dion Hamilton, who has experience playing both spots. And I think you have to decide which guy you want calling your defense, which guy you want in which role. Having two guys who know the defense that well out there is definitely a positive. Like, there's, you know, you're not dead, but you lose that upside of playmaking type of potential. Josh Harvey Clemens could certainly get in the mix there as well. Cole Holcomb, I think, could get in the mix there as well. They've got a couple other guys running around, but to me, those are the four to try to figure out, you know, down in, down out, who's going to be there. So your first and second down, your base. And then also in nickel situations, who plays, and in dime situations, who plays on third down, where Harvey Clemens has been the guy in the past. I wonder if he returns to that role, but can he do more? Can he expand out and ultimately, you know, be an every down type of player in his, what, third year, I think, now in this defense? So I am very curious to see what they do and how they divide up reps, because, you know, when you're two favorites, you don't even know which position they're going to play. That's an interesting, you know, thing to parse out as well.
Real quick before we let you go, we have to ask you about the quarterback position. What did you see? What did you hear? I'm sure you didn't see a lot, but what did you see? What did you hear as far as Case and Dwayne?
I mean, in terms of seeing, we're out there for the whole session, which is nice. And I thought Haskins had a great day. I really thought he threw the ball well. And the biggest thing, and this is always what I've told you guys I look for at this time of year, is, like, I want to see if you're decisive. Do you know where to go with the ball, and do you get it there? And his ability to line up, look where, you know, kind of look where he needs to look and deliver the ball was impressive yesterday. It was one day. He had a great day. In rookie minicamp, he had one great day and one mediocre day. So we'll see how the rest of the week goes, which obviously we're not there for, and I'll have to talk to people and see what they say. But I thought Haskins looked great. Case looked good as well yesterday. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's a veteran. He's out there. But when Haskins is right, man, it's a different level. And you go, okay, that's the first round pick, and Keenum's for the undrafted, so or seventh rounder. So I am very curious to see how this thing plays out. Haskins, if he has a lot of days like he had yesterday, we're going to have a legitimate quarterback competition going into the fall, and I think Haskins will have a chance to win it.
Good. All right, Craig, great stuff. Have a safe flight.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. You got
That's
it.
Craig
See
Hoffman,
you
our Redskins beat reporter.
Where's Seahawks off to?
Not sure.
Grabbing?
I didn't ask.
Oh. Okay. So OTAs last, the rest of the week? A couple more days?
But devastating news to start.
I don't know, Jason. I think it's usually like 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
All right, phone number if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. The Redskins lose Reuben Foster.
I've already gotten, I think, 3 texts from people saying it's the curse.
Yeah.
It's the Dan Snyder curse.
Back.
Not the DC curse. This is the Dan Snyder curse.
Name change curse. I saw those on Twitter.
I haven't gotten
we'll
that.
Come back, take your calls here on the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Thanks again to Craig Hoffman for joining us, Redskins beat reporter, with the latest from Redskins OTAs, where the big story we thought was going to be about the quarterback position, and it's still a very big story. But yesterday, 3 plays into OTAs, Reuben Foster, who was slated to be their starting middle linebacker, who they endured a year of kind of drama to have him on the team. The first time he steps on the field, he tears his ACL.
Literally his first play.
Right.
And he just steps on a guy's foot.
Just horrible.
And a lot of people were tweeting us as karma because they brought in this guy who's beating his girlfriend allegedly.
Charges
have been dropped.
Multiple times the charges have been dropped.
People were very upset. They signed him. A lot of people saying karma for the Redskins' name change.
But
one which really gets me is, all right, they've been one of the most, if not the most, injured team the last 2 years. And a lot of people call into the show, tweet us at Junks Radio, and say it's about their training staff. They must be doing something wrong.
How could the training staff have prevented that?
Has nothing to do with it.
Has they literally are, nothing.
They are kind of snake bitten, where they have quarterbacks who break their legs, and in OTAs they have a starter suffer an ACL, but it happens.
The one thing I'll say is definitely an impactful injury to the team is certainly a guy they were counting on and hoping, you know, if all the personal stuff was satisfied, which so far it had been, that he was going to be a starting inside linebacker for him. And Craig said that, you know, they got worse yesterday. Well, that's true. But remember, he didn't even play for him last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they had Zach Brown. He's no longer here. So I'm sure in theory they have gotten worse.
But they did expect those things, which Craig pointed out, like a game-changing type of linebacker.
But they didn't
have
that last year.
Understood.
So they got worse theoretically.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know how he was really going to play.
Yeah, haven't really gotten worse yet.
But they got worse in that he was slated to be the starter.
Absolutely.
So now you're going to a
backup. And somebody they were relying on and somebody who has shown flashes of being really good, and that's why Jay was so infatuated with
him. It just sucks for an athlete. I'm saying, you know, I don't know how good or bad of a person Foster is. He's probably not the best character in the world, but whatever. It just sucks for a person, an athlete, to suffer that injury on your first play in the first play of OTA.
I felt terrible for him. When I saw the highlights of him pounding the ground, you know, because he knew right there he was done.
I mean, he may never be the same again.
Yeah.
He probably won't be.
He knew he was done, and that, you know, that could be it. You never know if you're going to be able to lace it up again. So, I mean, I feel tremendous personal sympathy for the guy. But as far as how the team can recover from it, I still think they have plenty of time and they have some options. Thank God they drafted Cole Holcomb, who everybody seems to like. He might have a real shot. undersized linebacker, but they say super talented. Yeah, but still, they liked him a lot.
But you know there's a significant drop-off between Foster and Holcomb.
I'm sure, but Foster hadn't done that much yet at the NFL level.
No, but like I said when we interviewed Seahoff, there's certainly upside there based on his play in college and where he was drafted. You know, I think it's a big injury.
But I'm just saying, I don't think it dooms them defensively. I think they could still be really good defensively. And, you know, other people, next man up. Somebody's got to step up.
Yeah, I mean, the defense showed signs last year being a much improved defense. There was that three-game stretch where they're shutting down the best running backs in the game. You've got the Alabama wall with Payne and Allen. And then if Montez Sweat pans out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still be excited.
You could
still
be a very good defense.
You could still be excited about the defense.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, it should be a better defense. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. But it does seem like they're just a doomed team. It does seem that way. I don't buy into curses. I know a lot of people, like you said, people are saying, oh, it's the DC curse. It's back after the whole Stanley Cup run. And it does seem like, well, the Nationals have gotten worse. Cap's worse. Wizards worse. And then you've got the Redskins.
They're doomed.
It's just bad luck.
I don't know. It's bad luck. I wouldn't say that they're doomed. They'd be doomed if that happened to Haskins yesterday.
Mm.
I don't think they're necessarily doomed because Foster hurt his knee. But, you know, it hurts. Hurts your depth. And, you know, other guys, like you said, have to step up. Could be Sean Deion Hamilton. Could be Holcomb. Could be Clemens. Could be a bunch of guys.
So will Zach Brown be lobbying to get back into the mix?
He's already re-signed.
Oh, he did.
I can't remember who. Maybe the Eagles or somebody. He re-signed with somebody.
Yeah.
I was driving around yesterday, and I heard Jerry Brewer on with Dukes. And Jerry brought up the point that, you know, they have had so many injuries, and every team has injuries, and you're always going to have injuries. But wouldn't it be interesting to see if they just had average injuries? So, like, last year, I'm not sure if they were, but I think he said, you know, imagine if they were, instead of being 32nd most injured team, they were just the 16th most injured team. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, how many extra football wins that would mean for them. You know, it's impossible to know, but he knows of, like, in the last couple of years, there were about 7 or 8 games where he knew they flat out could not win because they were so riddled with injuries.
It's got to be double digits. I know, you know, except for when my son was born, you know, I've covered every game over the last 4 years, and I know there were at least 8 games that we went into it saying they're not going to win this because of injuries. That you just went into it saying they're not going to win this because of injuries. And maybe 1 or 2 of those 8, they just happen to pull off, you know, by some level of kind of resiliency. And there's probably more when I think about that, you know. And I know there's just been times where it's just the opponent is too good, the injuries are too much, there's just no way they're going to win today. And the whole thing about the NFL is any given Sunday, you have a chance to win.
And you could probably point to, like, the Josh Johnson starts as classic examples of that.
Yeah.
And I think they did steal one. But right. For the most part, they really didn't have a chance to win. Yeah. So
that is true. Got to keep the QB healthy.
You know, you'd like to see him have average injuries. Seems like they're starting off on the wrong foot, but hopefully this is it and they don't lose any other guys. This also made me think immediately of D. Smith and the NFLPA and their sort of position that these OTAs, I mean, certainly if you're not under contract, like some of these rookies go to these things and they're not even under contract yet. It's stupid. And if you are under contract, I mean, you're not obligated to go. And, you know, a lot of guys yesterday weren't there. Trent Williams wasn't there. Some of the bigger name guys.
Norman.
I don't believe Adrian Peterson was there. A lot of the big name guys not there.
Trying to protect themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Marcus in College Park. So it's not open line Thursday, but your chance actually to chime in.
Open line Tuesday.
On the Redskins injury front here, the first day of the quarterback competition. Marcus, what's up, buddy?
Thanks, man. You know, Napoleon used to say he preferred his enemies to fall on their own sword. It was a lot easier that way. And forget about a curse. Forget about karma for a minute. But think of how this franchise operates when it adds key components to its roster. As far back as Robert Griffin III, who had a very large injury history when he was with Baylor, Darius Geis drafted him when he was injured. This ballyhooed signing of Landon Collins, he finished the season on injured reserve with a labrum tear for the Giants. Then you have this guy that they just signed that they were pinning their hopes on, Foster. He only played 10 games in his first season and only 6 last year because of injuries and personal problems. When they build their franchise on a thing called hope, they are getting into problems because they are hoping people will not get hurt again. And they ought to put Bruce Allen's empty head to good use and put right on his forehead. Hope is not a strategy. Hope is not a strategy. You need players who are durable. You need players. You need consistency.
Everybody gets nicked up, Marcus.
Like Jonathan Allen was just talking about.
Everybody gets nicked up. Everybody gets hurt.
Yes, but when you bring players that are already nicked up, you invite disaster. Just one more comment about the injury to Foster. We have to hope that this artery damage isn't his popliteal artery. That was what was injured when Zach Miller was hurt last year for the Bears.
Right.
That requires emergency surgery within 6 hours. So we'll know very quickly whether the popliteal artery was injured with him. Yeah. And let's hope that this man can get back on the field. Thank you very much, fellas.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't want to be a Bruce Allen apologist. I don't know if they're just drafting a bunch of guys who have these huge injury histories. It happens from time to time.
They do take calculated risks at times.
Did Alex Smith have this huge injury history?
No,
it was a freakish
durable
incident.
Yeah.
Does Reuben Foster have a litany of knee problems? I don't know.
No, if you look at it.
People tear their ACLs all the time. It happens.
No.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know that the fans are frustrated, but guys do recover from injuries. And the guys that they did sign and draft had recovered from those injuries. So I'm not going to put too much stock in that. And like you said, everyone gets hurt. I mean, every guy's ever played football is hurt.
Ask D. Smith. He'll tell you 100% of the players in this league will leave injured.
But, you know.
Even kickers?
Probably, yeah.
Here's Reuben Foster's injury history. Thigh hamstring strain. He had that in October 2018. He had a concussion.
Yep.
He had a chest rib bruise in October of 2017. He had an ankle sprain. He had a rotator cuff tear, and he had another concussion.
Yeah.
That's his injury history. Yep. Probably pretty standard. And for those that want to blame the Redskins trainers, how do you prevent a guy from stepping on someone's foot?
Yeah, that's stupid.
You know, just
that just doesn't make sense.
Some things you just can't control.
Somebody tweeted and said, I don't know if they use the bands. Maybe all I ever see is them lifting weights.
Come on.
Of course, they do everything.
Come on. They do it all.
They're not doing anything different than the other 31 teams, by the way. They all do the same stuff.
I don't think so, yeah. I think generally speaking, they're all doing the same stuff. They all know the same literature. They all know the latest.
Now, if this was all happening on their home field, I could buy into they have terrible turf because we've seen that before. But it didn't happen on their garbage FedEx field.
Well, I think it's also been proven that even though it's a garbage field, that the grass is better for you than turf.
That's true.
Yeah. So
you look, as a fan, you can rationalize it however you want. Now you just have to kind of react to the results and how you're going to fix it.
Well, now you have a bad middle linebacker core again.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they go out and replace him with a free agent, or maybe they look to one of the guys on the roster. Who knows? But it happened. You got to move on. It's football. Guys get hurt.
When we come back, can we play the audio that we have? I want to hear Jay talking about his reaction, you know, to the Foster stuff, and then also Jay and Dwayne talking about, you know, the first day of the quarterback's getting after it. I'd like to hear that.
Sure.
For one.
Listen to Craig Hoffman, high on Haskins.
He liked him. Said he had a great first day.
He said everything from his ability to line up to his throws, impressive.
It's important because I heard Jay comment on it. You know, yesterday was the first day that Dwayne's ever had to call plays in a huddle. That's a big deal. That's not some easy thing. You know, that's a complicated language, a language all of its own. And just the knowledge that you have of where everyone has to be and where you have to deliver the ball, where you have to look off. I mean, that's a lot of information to process. And if he handled that pretty seamlessly in his first day, that's impressive.
Well, he did like Haskins, did he? But how did Case play? Did he say
he said Case was okay.
Okay.
He thought that Haskins had an exceptional day.
Right.
But in terms of Case versus Dwayne Haskins, Case doesn't have this huge advantage in terms of knowledge of this playbook. He has an advantage of being in the league for years and being a starter.
He has an advantage of processing plays, calling plays.
But in terms of the Redskins playbook, he doesn't have the advantage that Colt McCoy would have.
Correct.
True.
But he still theoretically has a leg up on him in terms of just smoothness, calling plays, comfortability, that sort of thing. Haskins, you would think initially the initial leg up he has is the arm talent.
Right.
He's got a bigger, better arm.
Right. And he's bigger, his size.
Yeah.
But he's also
if he can process everything else as quickly and handle all that stuff, then you're really sitting pretty. You're looking good.
Yeah. But Keenum also has an advantage with the experience and the speed of the game. He's used to that.
Absolutely.
And Haskins obviously has to get used to the speed of the game.
Absolutely.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. The Redskins lose Reuben Foster to a torn ACL on day one of OTAs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to check us out on TV. Talking about the Redskins losing middle linebacker Reuben Foster to a torn ACL and what it means to the team. EB was talking about what Jay Gruden said, and we'll play his clips momentarily. Just want to reiterate what Craig Hoffman said, our Redskins beat reporter, right at the top of the show. And he was talking about how Jay has absolutely loved Reuben Foster since the draft.
Yep.
And was really looking forward to having him in the lineup.
Well, how could you not? I mean, he was a stud in college. I mean, he played on the best college team. He was really good. I mean, he slipped a little bit in the draft, but you know, San Francisco was certainly high on him. So I could see why guys like Jay Gruden would be excited to have him. But you got to move on.
So here's what Jay said about the initial reaction to Foster going down with the injury.
Yeah, when you see, especially Ruben's type of player that he is, the energy that he brings, he wouldn't be laying down unless something was wrong. But hopefully it was, you know, hopefully we'll hope for the best right now until we get the results. But very concerning for sure. You know, he's, yeah. So I'll just have to wait and see before I get too emotional about it.
They have to go through that dance all the time. We have to wait and see. But they generally know within a minute or two.
Well, mm-hmm. When they put an air cast on you, you're pretty much done.
The player.
Or whatever
knows.
You want to call it. You know, Craig.
Well, they can also run an ACL test real quick.
Well, they do a field test. They know. ACL yeah. Test. But there's a reason why they put such a, you know, that type of brace on it immediately. They know there's severe damage. And you could tell by Foster's reaction. He knew, too. When he was pounding the turf.
I was going to say, the player probably knows before
he
anybody.
He knows. Yeah.
Now, it doesn't necessarily matter at this point because it's a non-issue, but here's what Gruden said about his expectations and how excited he was to see Reuben Foster on the field.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, I think very excited. I love the energy he brings to this football team. Obviously, he's been through a lot as a young football player off the field and on the field. You know, I just very disappointed what happened. His first rep as a Redskin, he runs through a gap and gets injured. So,
I feel like brutal. This has happened to them before, too, with somebody who got hurt in OTAs really quickly.
Oh, it happens. Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, let's talk about him grading the quarterbacks after day one. What do you hear? We got a couple quotes here from Jay, and then we have some good stuff here from Haskins.
Well, I think we have to grade it based on production out here every day. Every day is a new grade, and every day see how they're developing, see how they're getting better, see if they're making the same mistakes over and over, see, you know, but it's a process. This is the first time Dwayne's had a chance to call plays in a live huddle and go after a live defense, and it's the first time Case has had a chance to do that. With the Redskin terminology. So we don't expect perfection on day one, but we do expect the guys to know what they're doing when we go out on the practice field, execute, and then continue to get better each and every day. So somebody's going to rise, I would think. The cream always rises to the top, and we're hoping that's the case.
That's the case. Not necessarily
case.
We're hoping that's case. We're just hoping that's the case. Then he talks about Case, what Case is doing out there.
I think he's more worried about himself right now because he's got a lot to learn himself, and he's going through this process for the first time as well. It's not like he's been here for 10 years. You know, everybody talks about Alex when he mentored Mahomes over there. Well, Alex has been in the system. He'd been playing for a while. It was a little bit easier. But now that Case is here for the first time, he's got a lot to learn, and we're teaching them both equally, like they're new guys learning a new offense.
Mm. Man, the Redskins really want to believe Alex Smith is why Patrick Mahomes has become as good as he is.
Mm. Well, they keep mentioning
was that little Freudian slip there from Jay on the Case Keenum.
Maybe, I don't know. All right, now we have audio of Dwayne. They got four different comments here. The first one here talks about the competition day one with Case.
How did it feel to be competing with a veteran like Case Keenum, snap after snap, drive after drive?
That was great. You know, I want to be with the best, be around the best, compete with the best. And in the offseason, I pride myself on working out with the best quarterbacks and happen to have one on my team. And, you know, it's great to not only is he a great quarterback, but he's someone that wants to help me. And that means a lot to me.
By the way, that's J.P. Finley asking the question. He'll join us at 7:40, Redskins Insider for NBC Sports Washington.
I always find it interesting and a little off-putting when these quarterbacks bristle at helping the younger guys. I mean, I understand it's a competition. You're looking out for yourself. I thought Eli had a decent answer. Was it Eli? I think it was Eli.
Eli talked about yesterday.
Yeah, when he was asked about it, and he was like, look, my primary focus is to play well and then win football games. But I'm also going to help them when I can. And that's how it should be, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's natural just from a human nature standpoint.
But these people, though, that bristle at sort of helping the young guys, it's not a good look. I'm always shocked when they
feel like
when
Case
they resist
is bristling?
That. No, not at all. Not at all. I'm just responding
right.
to Dwayne saying that he's a great person and he's helping him out, that sort of thing, which is good.
I mean, they just met each other.
Yeah.
Not like they're boys.
Dwayne's
they're also fighting for the same thing.
For sure.
It's different than Denver, where Flacco's is going to be the established number one, and Locke is obviously the rookie. But
Flacco bristled at that whole thing.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Which is
different.
Just so weird.
Like Case and Dwayne are going after the same thing, and it's a flip of the coin right now.
Right.
So, but in some other situations where the established veteran clearly will be the number one, and Drew Locke will be number two behind Flacco, this is a little bit more interesting because it's Case's first year in the system.
All right, Dwayne was asked if he's picking up the offense.
How do you feel like you're picking up the offense, learning the guys, receivers, linemen, all that stuff?
I feel like it's going great. I got to take baby steps. I'm still a rookie, and it's not going to happen overnight. But I'm doing my part, studying as hard as I can, and you know, just putting it on the field.
What are the parts of the game that you have to be most patient with?
I was most patient with just terminology, regurgitating the plays, calling it in the huddle. But when it comes to knowing what I'm doing, I feel like I'm pretty good at it.
And I think that ties into the next quote there where we asked his expectations, right?
What was your expectation for today, and how was your expectation and what really happened different?
I didn't have any expectations for today. I just wanted to execute. And you know, the biggest thing for me was calling the plays right in the huddle. That's all I was worried about today. So I felt like I did a pretty good job at it. It was pretty good.
That's a big deal, dude.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
It's been mentioned multiple times, not by just by Dwayne, but by Jay.
That's a big deal.
Calling the plays is a huge deal.
Never
and I'm
done
not saying,
it
and I'm not saying he's struggled with it, but it's a huge point of emphasis for Jay
well,
and for Dwayne.
It's a massive part of the job. It's a job requirement, and he's never been asked to do it before. So you have no idea how he's going to react to it.
Well, just not at this level.
Not in high school, not in college.
Yeah, they don't do it. I mean,
yeah. So
they get everything called in from the side.
Yeah.
I mean, for most of the quarterbacks that come out now, that's the situation.
Yeah.
Although when we listened to that sit down with Jerry DiNardo, and when we had Jerry DiNardo from the Big Ten Network on the show, he said he was really impressed with Haskins' ability to change protection. So now that is beyond the huddle. Once you're actually sitting there audibilizing, seeing who the middle linebacker is, changing the protections. So it's
Ryan
not
Day
like he's
apparently
a
had worked with him. Oh, no, I don't think he's
wrong. It's just that's not the way that they played at Ohio State.
Well, correct. It's all new stuff for him. You just don't know how they're going to handle it. I assume eventually he'll pick it up.
Yeah, he's learning a new language.
Yeah, but it's hard.
But
some
then
people
as
can't
he said
do it.
Right there at the end of that clip, once he gets beyond that, he's comfortable with the field stuff. Regardless of how the play is called, he's comfortable with what he sees and making plays on the field.
Right, but he's got to get there. He's got to get to that
point.
Well,
he has to be able to communicate
to
the receivers.
You think it's not a big deal?
I don't think
you're minimizing it.
I am. Because I think
he said for himself it was the biggest thing.
Biggest thing for him because he's comfortable with everything else. I understand that.
Yeah.
He's got to learn a new language. I understand that's difficult, and it's the way he's going to communicate to his receivers, to his linemen.
All that.
But once he's there lined up and the play starts, it's beyond the terminology. It's about making the right reads.
That's correct. True, but if you're expecting a wide receiver to break right, but he thinks he's supposed to break left, you know, you're already screwed from step one.
Correct.
Doesn't matter how good your arm is.
That's why
JP's
they're doing.
Just assuming,
that's why they're doing OTAs in May.
JP's just assuming he's just going to pick it up because he's a smart guy. A lot of smart guys, I think that it's just a lot. It's overwhelming. It's a lot. And hopefully it sounds good. First day, it sounds like it went well.
He's no different than Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, all these guys last year who came in and produced. Now, some of them had, you know, ups and downs. Some of them had more downs than others.
I bet you all of them would have told you, if you sat him down, they said that was a big deal that I had to go to call the plays in the huddle.
Understood. Yeah.
That's a huge adjustment. Yeah,
it's an adjustment.
But I'm not sure that they all did that.
It's May.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long process.
Yeah. I just think
the speed of the game. This is not the speed of the game. What he saw yesterday.
Yeah, they're in t-shirts.
That's nothing. Yeah. The speed of, and the preseason is not the speed of the game. The speed of the game is week one or week four or week six, whenever he plays. It's believe me, when he comes off the field and after he plays a regular season game, he'll have a totally different vibe on what he saw yesterday in OTAs.
I wish just for people, you know, because, you know, you're not in the huddle, you don't know. We've had guys come in before, and I don't know if Valdez could ever find it. But, like, years ago when we had Chris on, when Cooley, and he would have him regurgitate a play for us. We've had other guys, other quarterbacks. And the verbiage, it's like 30 seconds long. There's 900 different instructions for 800 different people.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a lot, man.
It is. It's like learning a foreign language.
It is.
But if somebody told you right now, here's all of these words in Italian, you'd have no clue what they are, right? But if you studied Italian for a while, you would know.
I'm not sure in 3 months I'd have
everything's
mastered.
Different. It's everything's different.
And the thing that we learned, I know,
the language is different.
For the quarterback, they need to know it all. For a lot of those other positions, they just listen to their part. They know
correct.
This is my
but
little
he's
part.
The one that has to know
right.
it all.
Correct.
Yeah. And those guys, if they still screw things up, only listening for their part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blow right, assignments, do
and
the
like
wrong
you said,
thing.
Haskins has to know it all.
Yeah, I just think it's overwhelming. I know for a fact I could not do it.
Of
I know for
not.
A fact
none of us could.
I could not do it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Dude, what percentage of first-round quarterbacks succeed?
That's why it's so
and they
tough.
Were all studs in college.
Yeah.
All of them.
And it all factors in.
Right.
Yeah. You got to have the physical ability, but you also have to be able to process everything and put it all together. That's why there's about 8 guys that are elite.
So I'm not putting too much stock in the fact that he says, yeah, I was pretty comfortable yesterday. All right, let's judge it.
I'm not sure he even said that. He said his whole deal was he wanted to call the plays correctly.
Yeah, I mean, this is nothing. This is one tiny step.
Yeah.
No, the judgment is going to be after you actually see him on the field for several games.
That's what I'm saying.
And maybe several seasons. Then you're going to actually be able to, you know, have a judgment on him. Is he going to be a first round silly or is he going to be a first round bust?
Well, listen, in between, you could be like a Blake Bortles
or
Ryan
Jason
Tannehill.
Campbell.
Yeah, you could have a 10-year career as a sort of a modest quarterback.
Right, but it's going to take a while to judge that.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's exciting to have a first-round guy who could potentially be the franchise quarterback for the next decade.
All you can ask for, I guess, is upside.
Yep. We'll talk further with J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington coming up at 7:40. He was out at OTAs. Later in the program, Candace Buckner is going to join us. She joins us at 8. We'll talk about what the Wizards are looking for in a GM because their first choice turned them down. Staying in Denver, not coming home. And Brian Orringer, NBA scout, will join us at 9:20 in studio here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.